CCFM is everywhere. Everywhere.
It's business made simple with Bizval, exclusively on In Season.
Yep, it is that time of the week, or of the month, rather. I'm joined by Graham. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Morning, Sakhe. Thanks for having me again. It's great to be here. And you know, just as we thought the rainy weather was over, we got lulled into a false sense of security, but good to be here.
Yeah, good to have you here. You do not have anyone with you today. It's just you and I.
Just me again, yeah.
Awesome. So what are we chatting about today?
Well, you know, as you know, we're passionate about empowering entrepreneurs, but I think often in the show we talk to existing business owners. Mm-hmm. But there's so many people out there that aspire to have their own businesses, and they just don't know where to start. So today we're going to break down just some of the elements, what it takes to start a small business, and hopefully some practical examples along the way. You know, so there's maybe a mix of theory and, you know, but you don't just wake up and go and start a business one day. So we're just going to break down some of the elements that people need to think about.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine it could be, you know, quite overwhelming to start a small business. But where should someone start if they, you know, have an itch to become an entrepreneur, but don't exactly know what kind of business to start?
Fantastic. And it's a great question, Sakhe. So today we're going to break down the different steps one's got to think about when setting up a business. You know, so, you know, there's about 10 steps we'll go through, from like coming up with an idea to building a business plan, all the way through to, you know, how do you actually prepare, you know, once you've gone through all these steps, you know, preparing to scale your business. We talk about that term, but it basically means you're growing your business. Okay. Let's start with the first step. And I think the first step is actually to come up with a business idea. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to start a business, what are you going to do? And it's important, that different things you need to consider. So the first thing is you need to look at your interests, your skills, the market around you. It's a bit like when you're looking for a job, you know, is what are you passionate about? And the thinking behind this is if you're more likely to succeed if you're doing something that you're passionate about. It's not just starting a business to make money, but that's only one part of the equation. You can be passionate about something, but you've got to consider, you know, what problem is being solved. So there has to be a problem that you notice needs solving. And, you know, sometimes that idea comes from personal experiences and needs. But you also need to look around you and pay attention to some of the gaps in the market or common problems that people face. You know, so your business idea needs to provide a solution to the problem. So you've got to identify something you're passionate about. Hopefully that triangulates or aligns with a problem that needs solving that hasn't been properly solved yet. And then your business idea needs to give a solution to that problem. So, yeah, I'm going to use an example, and it's a very simple example, but imagine that you love baking and you often receive compliments on your cakes and your pastries and that. And you also notice that your town or your area, there's a bakery it doesn't have a bakery that offers gluten-free and vegan options. You know, so today's day and age, everyone wants gluten-free and vegan. So this could be an example of a gap in the market. Somebody who provides gluten-free and vegan cakes that also taste good, you know. It's a very simple example, but this could be an example of, you know, how you identify a business opportunity.
Fantastic. I see there's someone who's asking for this particular recording. It will be available as a podcast on our app straight after the show. So now, Graham, once someone has, you know, identified the problem they want to solve or an idea of the business, what's next?
Okay, so the next step is, you know, what we refer to as building a business plan. Now, this sounds super complicated, but it is not. Doesn't have to be an elaborate document. Basically, what a business plan is, you know, think of it as like a roadmap for your business. It it helps to write things down. It can be a one pager, but a business plan has got a few elements to it. Normally, there's sort of some sort of summary. So it describes your business idea, the goals, what you hope to achieve in simple, plain language. The next thing is sort of the business description. So sort of write down in a sort of detailed way, what your business will actually do. Mm-hmm. Okay. It should contain what we call a market analysis. So as I said, you need to understand, is there a real need for this? So you need to research your industry, the market size, your target audience. Are there enough people in your area that are actually going to, you know, need that problem to be solved and are going to buy your product and actually be prepared to pay for it? You need to think about, you know, your organization and your staffing and your management. So, you know, what does its structure look like? Are you going to be the one doing the selling of the cakes, the building of the store, the marketing, the management, all of that? Or, you know, in an ideal world, who would be doing what? And what are the key roles that need to be fulfilled? And then you need a marketing and sales strategy. So it's all very well you knowing that there's a problem and you're going to solve it, but how are you going to let people out there know about your business? There's so many great business ideas, and they sit in the founder's head.
Sure.
And it's their best kept secret. So you need to have a plan on how you're going to attract customers and keep them coming back to you. And then the last part is the financial projections. You know, you're building a business here, not necessarily a charity. So, you know, you have to have some understanding of what we call the income statement. How, you know, how much money do you think that this can raise? What's it going to cost you to do that? And what assets, what things do you need to be able to do that? So if you've got a bakery, you might need an oven, you know,
of course,
so your assets and how much cash you might need to do that. So a business plan is nothing more than a simple roadmap for your business. It's a plan. So going back to that bakery example, you know, let's say you've decided to open that gluten-free and vegan bakery. Your plan should outline that mission, you know. So we want to provide healthy alternatives, or let's say not necessarily healthy, but I can't think of the word. Allergy free, you know. Some people are, you know, lactose intolerant or wheat intolerant. You know, serve that market. Who's the market? How many people have got that need? Is there actually competition? You might find that there isn't a vegan or bakery in the area, but you might find one of the other bakeries, you know, actually you can go and order that if you really want it. So, and then your financial projection. So that's just a very simple example of what that business plan could contain.
And in this phase, how important is market research?
So this is something that often gets neglected, and it's really important. So that market research helps you understand who your target audience is. So who the customers and who the competitors. So you need to know who your customers are, what they want, where they spend their time. And this information will help you tailor your product or the service that you're offering to meet their needs. So you should go out there and interview potential clients. You know, you can survey local residents to kind of gauge their, in the bakery example, gauge their interest in gluten-free and vegan products. You know, you might find that in your particular area, they're not interested in, you know, vegan and gluten-free. Go visit the existing bakeries in the area to observe their offerings and their pricing. And I'm using this simple bakery example, but, you know, if you're an accountant, you might go and see what other accounting services are in the area. Or, you know, if you're a plumber, you might do the same. So you can do a number of things to do this. So you can do surveys and questionnaires. So you could design a questionnaire and hand it out and ask people to fill it out. You can do a competitive analysis. So you can actually go and look at the other bakeries in the area. Go and be a customer of theirs. You know, study what they do well, what they don't. Maybe their, you know, their cakes are good, but the service is poor. You know, so look at the, you know, the competitors and see where they're weak and where they're strong. And there are also industry reports available often, you know, so you can get industry reports and data to get a perspective on market trends. You know, so like in the radio industry, you get reports in terms of how many listeners are there, what demographics in the area, you know, so look out for those kind of things.
I mean, there's a lot to think about here. How can someone test the business concept, you know, to make sure that it's viable?
You know, you can, you know, testing the concept's key. Okay, so you're not going to go out, you've got the business plan, you've done a bit of market research, you're not going to go out and suddenly go and spend thousands on getting your ovens and your shop and all of that. You've got to test it first. And, you know, it makes sense to start small by creating a little prototype offering. Okay, so, and offer your service to a limited group. So, and you get feedback from those early users, you know, do they like the taste? Okay, you're not using sugar, but, you know, they don't like the aftertaste or the sweetener you're using. And this sort of initial grouping, let's call it a pilot group of customers, can help you refine your product, make sure there's real demand for it. You know, so if you think about, you know, if you're going to use this baking example, don't go set up shop. I mean, go to one of the local markets, for instance, and maybe get a stand there. You know, sometimes those markets, you don't need to commit for a long period of time. You pay your fee and you can go and, you know, and see how it takes off there. Word of mouth, you know, go to your school bake sales and collect feedback from customers so you can refine the process. You know, so there's a few concepts here. It's one of these is what you call prototyping. So, you know, you create a small batch of your product and you test it. Okay. The feedback loop we talk about in business terms is getting customers to tell you, maybe sometimes even giving away your product, and tell them what do they like about it, what don't they like about it, what adjustments do you need to make. And we refer to this in business as sort of your minimum viable product. You might have this dream to be selling a range of gluten-free biscuits, cakes, you know, you name it. But start with a limited range. Maybe just do muffins to start with. And that minimum viable product is, it makes things simpler to manage. And then you can grow and expand from there.
Sure. So let's say the concept is validated, right? Everyone likes your whatever that you're baking. How does one then go about raising the necessary funds to run the business?
Sure. So this is often the biggest thing. People think, oh, I need money to start the business. And yes, you do. Okay. But I'll touch on a few simple ways of doing that. So the first is to use your savings. Okay, so you could also ask for loans from family and friends, or you could seek out investors. Now, sometimes also for small businesses, depending on what you're doing, there may be grants and loans available if you meet certain criteria. And then also, you know, we often hear the term of crowdfunding platforms. So online you go, I've got this idea, and people will donate. So you've got to think a little bit creatively around how you're going to do that, and the method you use depends on your specific needs and situations. You know, unfortunately, when you've got an idea and you want to start, it's not often easy to go to a bank and say, hey, give me a loan for R1 million to start my business. So it's important. People want to see you've got skin in the game. So if you want to think about starting a business, not everyone's in this position, but you kind of have to, you know, you need to understand what you need. So if you're thinking about this bakery and you estimate it's going to cost you 50,000 rand to get set up, that's why that business and financial plan is important, so you know what you need. And you could decide to use, let's say, 20,000 of your savings. You could ask friends and family for 10,000 rand, and you could apply for a small business loan or a grant for the remaining 20,000. But you may not get that all up front. So you've got to build a track record. And the reality is most businesses need a degree of funding, and it's hard to get. So I'm not going to beat about the bush here. Investors want to see that you've put some skin in the game to start with. So what a lot of people do is they start a business as a side hustle. And all that this means is you've already got a job. And you start your business on the side. You know, so you go to a market on the weekends when you're not working and sell your cakes. It could be in your spare time, could be in the evenings. And one of the things I always say is just make sure that your employment conditions allow for this. You know, sometimes people start a side hustle, and unwittingly, something in the employment contract says you can't moonlight. Often that's the term in contracts. And normally employers won't mind, as long as it doesn't detract from your performance at work, and as long as it's not competing directly with what you're doing. So if you're working for an accounting firm and you start doing someone's books on the side, you know, normally that's not going to be allowed. But if you've got an accounting firm and you're baking on the side, that's not really going to be an issue usually. So, I mean, let me move on from this. I know you've raised a little bit of money, but I think, you know, often you've got to also think about costs.
Okay? Yeah, definitely.
It's all very well having this bucket of money to start the business, but in the early stages, managing costs is vital. So, you know, you can get carried away with the idea and spend too much money early on. And that's why having a detailed budget, tracking your expenses, you know, look for ways to save money. Yeah, negotiate with suppliers. You know, if you're a new business getting started, chat to suppliers and say, you're getting going.
Yeah.
My son wanted to start a business selling hoodies. And one of the things, we went to sort of clothing suppliers and they insisted on a minimum order of 100 hoodies.
Yeah.
Which obviously just wasn't practical. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, we actually went in and said, listen, it's my son. He's starting this business. He wants to learn.
Yeah.
And then they said, okay, cool. Like, we've got a, not an off-cut shop, but they said, we have these hoodies, which we can't sell for a variety of reasons.
Okay.
Because the sizing's slightly different or whatever.
Yeah.
And he can buy from there. You know, so he could buy 5 at a time and then sell them. So you've got to be a bit creative, yeah, when you think about how you manage costs. And in terms of marketing, you can use free or low-cost marketing strategies. So things like Instagram, you know, create an account or profile over there. But importantly is make sure that you're not spending more than what you've planned to spend.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, that as you start to build the business, that you're earning more than you're making. It's easier said than done. But tracking that and being intentional about it is super important.
That's a great advice. Now, once the funding is in place, right, we have motion, what are the next steps in setting up the business?
Yeah, so I mean, this can happen at any stage in the business or of the setup, but you also need to set up the business. So you thought about the plan, you've got an idea of where you're going to get funding.
Mm-hmm.
You need to, you know, take care of the admin tasks in setting up the business. So this includes registering your business name, getting any licenses and permits that you might need, setting up the business structure, you know, and that could be a sole proprietorship, mm-hmm. a partnership or a company. We're not going to go into a lot of detail around that, but you know, you might need to register for taxes, set up a bank account. So there's all those sort of admin tasks that you need to do. You know, so from a structure point of view, this is one of the things that you need to get in place and decide on how you're going to do that. So there's 3 basic forms of businesses. There's what you call a sole proprietorship. That's usually the easiest. You do everything in your own name and your taxes are paid in your own name. And if anything goes wrong, you get sued in your own name.
Okay. Yeah.
A partnership is when you partner with somebody else and you kind of split that. But it's still you operating as an individual. And then you have a company structure, which basically allows you to have limited liability in a personal capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more regulations. You need to comply with the Companies Act. So it's, think of it as like an additional person who sits, or identity that sits outside of you.
Okay.
Now, serious businesses will usually go down the route of setting up a company.
Mm-hmm.
But you can trial something still as a sole proprietor. And as things get going, you can then set up those structures.
Gotcha.
You know, going back to the bakery example, you're going to need to register with SARS.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to assume that you're going to be making profits and you're going to have to pay taxes. You need to see if there's any health and safety requirements. So, you know, if you're selling liquor, for argument's sake, you need a liquor license.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're employing people, you're going to need to register for PAYE. Workman's compensation. So if your baker burns his hand, like, you have to have all those things in place. So there's lots of admin things you need to think about when setting up a business.
And speaking about pay as you earn, someone says that also be careful whom you employ, which is very, very much true. But going back to it, Graeme, I mean, that sounds like, you know, a lot of paperwork, like a lot of admin. Is there help for this kind of work?
Absolutely. You know, so, you know, there's lots of resources that can help you with this. So you can go online. There's online tools, like you say, like 10 steps to help you set up a business, you know. So, but, you know, so, and that'll give you a useful framework. But if you can afford it, you know, I'd always suggest chat to a small business accountant who's been through this, who's doing it for other businesses, and they can guide you through the process. Again, it doesn't have to cost you thousands of rands to do this, but find a local small accountant who's helped set up businesses, can do that for you. You know, often they've got very cost-effective ways for doing that. It's good to invest in this kind of stuff up front.
Yeah. All right, so the business is set up. What about the location?
Okay, so your location will vary depending on the business you're setting up. And nowadays, it doesn't always need to be a physical place. You know, so again, using the bakery example, you might want to find a nice cozy spot, which is, you know, covered from the rain and what have you. That can be expensive, you know, if you want to have sort of a sit-down area.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to negotiate a lease. You've got to set up a kitchen and storefront. So there's a lot of stuff that you need to do in setting up a location. But there's other things you can think about. You could have a home-based business. So, you know, you might say, listen, you're just going to have your bakery out of your kitchen and you're going to advertise in a pamphlet in your neighborhood. So you don't even need to have that. But you've got to consider, do you want sort of a commercial space? You know, so if you've got a bakery, do you want to be in a residential area or do you want to be in a commercial area?
Yeah.
And then you need to think about, you know, longer term, do you just want to lease the building or you want to buy the building? Now, some of those decisions might come later, but it's important that you think about them up front.
Mm. Now, let's talk about putting, you know, one out there, you know, marketing. How can you business owners effectively get the word out about their products or their services?
Cool. So I'm keeping a half an eye on the time, yeah? So I'm going to have to speed through the last few sections. But, you know, from a marketing, it's crucial. And if people don't know about what you're doing, it's very difficult to sell. So I always say, look, start with an online presence. It doesn't have to be a website. It can be a page on a social media platform like Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn even. And then use these platforms to engage with your audience. Mm-hmm. Share your story. Put pictures of your product online.
Yeah.
You know, you can do things like content marketing or email campaigns where you can actually email people and start a newsletter. And then local advertising can also be effective, you know, whether it's your local free newspaper that gets delivered, your local radio station. And never forget about word of mouth, you know. So word of mouth is very powerful, especially in the early days. So it's important to give good customer service and encourage referrals. And nowadays, you can, if you set up your business online, you can have a Google review page. So those early referrals encourage people to go and actually say, hey, you know, I really enjoyed the cake from XYZ Bakery. Yeah. You know, so your online presence, some content, local advertising, flyers, community events, email lists. And, you know, again, there's no right or wrong answer, but you need to think about what you're going to do. You don't need to do everything.
Yeah.
Pick two or three channels and do that well.
Right. So speaking about customer service, any tips on how to keep the customers happy and coming back for more?
100%. So, you know, customer service is key. And it's important that you listen to your customers and you address their needs promptly. You know, it's like you go to a restaurant, the food may not be great, but if the service is great, you have a wonderful experience. Yeah. So I think in the early days, and it shouldn't just be the early days, but go the extra mile to make your customers feel valued. Those early adopters, as we call them, they're the ones that are going to tell their friends and spread the word. And, and if the first few people who use you are disappointed, then it's very hard to get off the ground. So a happy customer is not just a repeat customer. They're a good advocate for your business. And it's important to train your staff to be friendly and helpful. And, you know, those are the kinds of things. It's really basics, you know. So, and then the last thing, as I mentioned earlier, is your customer feedback. So ask customers to give feedback. Tell them what they liked, what they didn't. You know, make sure it's easy for them to do.
Yeah.
You know, leave a review on Trustpilot or Google. And, you know, I think customers are quite forgiving if something goes wrong. If that cake was a little bit too crunchy or, you know, it's how you deal with problems that makes all the difference. So don't be afraid of negative feedback, but listen and address that. You know, and then the last thing I guess I want to mention is, you know, when you're setting up your business for success, in the early days, it's all about just getting going, okay? But you do need to think about what happens if your business takes off. You know, as I said earlier, a lot of people just never get started because they don't know how. And hopefully today we've kind of laid out some of those steps. But you do need to think about what if it takes off, okay? So if your bakery becomes popular and you start getting requests for catering, big events, weddings, your parties, all of that, you need to think ahead 6 months, a year, 2 years. Don't have to have all the plans in place, but start thinking about that. You know, if you need to, will you need to one day hire additional staff? You know, your current oven and setup, you know, maybe you can only bake 100 cakes a day. But what happens if you get an order for 1,000? How are you going to deal with that? So you need to think about those and, you know, what would you need to do to handle that increased advance? So think about things like hiring. How are you going to hire additional staff as the need grows? Your stock, you know, how are you going to make sure that you get a big order, you can actually get the flour and the eggs and everything necessary to make that? And then your expansion plans. Think ahead about how you're going to expand the business as you, as your business grows.
Now, we've covered a lot today. Can you just, before we let you go, we still have time.
Yeah.
If you could just quickly give us a summary of some of the key steps involved in starting a small business.
Sure. So I think let's just recap on those sort of 10 steps. The first one is to come up with a business idea. Okay. Identify your passions and the market needs. So where those two intersect. Build a business plan, which lays out your goals, your strategies, some of your projections. Do some market research. So talk to your target audience, look at the competitors, and write that down. Number four is you need to test your business concept with a small group and get their feedback.
Yeah.
Okay. Think about, you know, what sort of funding you need for the business. You know, some businesses you can start without a lot of funding. You know, if you're offering a service, a cleaning service where you're cleaning somebody's home, you don't really need funding for that.
Mm-hmm.
You might need a cleaning uniform and a couple of materials. So it's a different businesses are different funding options, but think about how you're going to raise funding if you need that.
Mm-hmm.
Manage your costs. So, you know, budget, write it down, track your expenses so you know what you're spending and where you spend and what you're spending it on. Make sure you set up the business properly. You know, so the admin tasks, register for taxes, set up a bank account, form of ownership, all of those things. Think about marketing. So how you're going to get the word out there to actually build your business and your brand. Focus on customer service. So those early adopters are key. You know, we call them your loyal, your true fans or your loyal fans. You know, you've got to get those first adopters to be really happy, and how you're going to retain them and sort of grow your customer base.
Yeah.
And number 10 is think about, even though it seems early, but think about growth in the future.
Yeah.
Build with that sort of end in mind. So, you know, starting a small business, it's a journey. It's exciting, but there's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of speed humps along the way, but equally, you know, there's a lot of rewards, both personal fulfillment and monetary if it's successful down the line. So hopefully today we've just given a little bit of an insight into some of the steps necessary to get going and to start a business.
Fantastic. Now, Graham, it is time for us to wrap it up. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today.
Thank you, Sakia. It's absolute pleasure. And, you know, with the business, as I said, it's a journey, but with the right steps and persistence, anybody can do it. Okay. You don't need a special degree or a special qualification. I think just about anybody out there can start a business. And, you know, it's not taking a risk. It's planning it out and being intentional about it and starting. That's the best advice I can give. If you've got an idea, you want to do it, get started.
Get started. Man, if you missed it, you will find it on the CCFM app as a podcast. Well, that is our time for today. Thanks again, Graham, for joining us this morning and sharing your valuable insights.
Fantastic. Thank you, Sakia. And thanks to the listeners.
It's business made simple with Bizval, exclusively on In Season.